Lord, we are so thankful that we can gather here this morning and that we can worship you and praise you. Just focus our eyes upon you and just give thanks to you. And Lord, I pray that each heart would be open to receive your word. I pray you anoint me to speak words of the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you for your word. We thank you for you that you reveal yourself to us so that we don't have to live in uncertainty or darkness, Lord. We're thankful that we have a real clear revelation of who you are and that you're with us, constantly teaching us. So I pray you just touch each one of us this morning, and so we give thanks to you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The title of the message, Great Power Working. Now, I like preaching on messages like this, okay? Great power working. And I like preaching all messages, but some I feel a little bit more energized by. You know, some you feel convicted by, some you feel energized by. This one's more energized, although it can be convicting too. So here we are wrapping up James. Wrapping up James. You know, technically, today, everybody's going, this is be the last message on James. We finished it. And we'll have a little wrap-up next week. But it's basically what James is trying to communicate. This is how is the wrap-up of James. And so we can pay attention to this. I've been several weeks, months in it, seeing what God would teach us. So here we are in James chapter 5, verse 16. And this is verse 16. This is actually the second sentence in verse 16. Let's split those up. And it reads like this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, it's very interesting, I think, as we come to the close of James, and God gives us this final revelation, And so we've been reading what I would just think this majestic book of James, just showing us these unbelievable truths. And at the very end of it, he gives us one final revelation at the end of the book. And this one final revelation is really earth-shattering and life-changing. And as always, the verse stands alone. I mean, you could just pull up, and this is a verse, you could preach on it, and it's powerful. But when you take it in context of the whole book, it is just super powerful. And like I said, it's earth-shattering, life-changing when you take it in context. Because when James gives us this verse, he's assuming we've read the first part of the books. So he said, you know this, now I'm telling you this. He didn't start out with this verse. He's ending the book. He's ending the book with this verse. And it really has a powerful upheaval, powerful tone to it. And so we want to look closely at this and see what the God's saying to us. Now, literally, the literal word, for the life of me, I don't know why it's not translated like this, but it's not. But literally, the word reads in the original language, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is great power working. Now, that's what it says. Prayer of a righteous person is great power working. And so we shouldn't slip over that. We should think about it a minute. It's like, the Amplified, there's an Amplified version that says this. The prayer of a godly person is powerful. It makes things happen. Now, I like that, you know, kind of amplify. But no, this is what God's saying. The prayer of a godly person is powerful. Things happen. Things happen. So we want to take that into our soul here. Like when we pray, things happen. We believe the Bible's in the errant word of God, right? All God's people. God just said, when you pray, things happen. Okay? I mean, we need to take that to the bank. We need to carry that with us wherever we go. When we pray, things happen. Now, it does say, we see that the prayers of a righteous person makes things happen. So I'll say, you know, I'm not that righteous. So I don't expect anything to happen. Because he says it's the prayers of a righteous person. But wait a minute. We understand the fullness of Scripture, correctly? We're just not preaching that verse. James understood the wholeness of Scripture when he said that, the whole thing. And we know from one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become what? Righteousness of God. Who's he talking to? The church. The church. He's not talking to anybody else. He's talking to the church. We're the righteous people in the church. How do we get righteous? Christ paid the penalty for our sins. We're forgiven. We're saying, God, we can't do anything. We have no ability of our own, and we're just standing before you, and we just trust in you, you alone, and you know, we're just kind of helpless here without you. He goes, you're righteous. And he goes, when you pray, things are going to happen. All God's people said, amen. Don't let, and I guess I'm talking to myself, but don't let the foolishness of saying, well, a righteous person and I'm not righteous. Well, what's your standard? So, well, my standard is Wallace. I'll say, oh, God help you. Don't ever talk to Linda. I mean, this is, you know, if that's your standard. Well, my standard is somebody else. Well, do you know them that well? Are you looking at perfection? You know? It's like, well, no. Any human perfected? No. No. Well, who's righteous? Who's going to stand up and say, I am righteous? You say, well, I'm not listening to that person. It's self-conceited. But God says, no, I've made my people righteous, and I only accept righteous people, and those that trust me, and those are cleansed by the blood. He's talking to the church. He's identifying us. See, the Bible, what the Bible does is try to convince us what he thinks about us. And we argue with him about what he says about us. He goes, you're righteous. You go, I'm not. Quit saying that. Don't tell me that anymore. But you are. That's not true. See, that is the truth. He said, you are righteous. And you know, I paid the ultimate price to make you righteous. So when you say you're not, you're denying Jesus could pay the ultimate price. Well, he couldn't do enough for me. So you're rejecting Jesus. No, I didn't say that. He goes, yes, you did say that. It's exactly what you said. Okay? And it's so we all stand together. We're righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this thing, like, oh my gosh, this verse takes a little life to it. And well, I'll just say the prayer of the church is powerful and effective. The prayers of a believer is powerful and effective. Are the powers of the church is great power working. The power of the church makes things happen. See? I'll bring up a sore spot that I bring up often, you know, not to mention his name, but our previous governor, you know, who during COVID canceled church services. And if he just went there, I could walk with him. But he couldn't leave it there. He couldn't leave it. He says, you close all the non-essential places. Okay. All right, buddy. I can't go there. And I literally talked to my television. I did. I said, I can't go there. No, you... Anything you could have said, you can't say that. God says, no, my church is great power working. Who would want to close them? No, I think right in the middle of COVID, God says, I'm going to open them because they're great power working. You know, so I saw that. Now, I just take it personally in that situation, what I did. I said, well, I can't tell anybody what to do. I don't know what's going on, but I know what he just told me. And people would call me and they'd say, is church open? You may have been wondering, is the church open? And my comment was, I'll be there. I mean, you know, I didn't tell anybody to come. I just said, I'll be there. You know, because I looked at this, it's an anathema. I mean, you wouldn't believe how it impacted me when he said that. I didn't vote for him the first time. I was glad they couldn't run the second time. Anyway, that's beside the point. Now, what I'm getting at here, the whole thing what I'm getting at here is what? You use your good sense and, you know, and this is not a declaration of what you should have done during COVID or anything like that. The point is this, the reason I bring it up, is what he said. What the mindset of everything this man said and just put in your face, it's not, the church is non-essential. I mean, no, that is not true. Well, God says the church is essential, and the church is the avenue in which God will change the world. That's the avenue. Everything that's going around, so, well, God's using that to change things. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know how the heavensly are working and going back and forth. It is working because the Bible tells us that. But it also says that it's through the church that his power is released. Is released. So we are, you know, some people have said, you know, and I'm not, there's good churches, a lot of them. But just to make a relevant point here, they talk about crazy stuff happening in Loudoun County. It's really dark. Okay, what's God going to do? He says, I'll put a church there. How about a better school board? Well, I'm working at a school board. I'll put a church there. See? So we are the answer to Loudoun County's darkness. Don't you feel encouraged? Huh? Now, if you're like me, I'll go, that's plan A. You know, I think, what's plan B? You know, that's me. And God, there ain't no plan B. There's no plan B, all right? So all of a sudden, now what has he done there? He's locked in our focus on him because we don't have a clue what to do, right? We don't have a clue. Now we're locked in on him. The darkness and the impossibilities make us lock in on him. It's, he loves it. He goes in the power of a righteous person, powerful and effective. You've locked in on me, and all you got to do is pray now. We'll work. Now that's God's point of view. That's God's point of view. And so it's eyes turned upon him above all things and getting direction from him. So listen, you can only get to heaven if you're a righteous person. No way, then no way. The only way you can get that righteous person. And Jesus knew we couldn't be righteous. So he died for us and paid the penalty. Paid all our sins. What did he do? He made us righteous. And some old-timey preachers would say, oh, we're covered in the blood. See, that's how we get to heaven. We're covered in the blood. You know, what'd you have to offer? Nothing. One of the things to receiving Christ's righteousness is acknowledging that you have nothing to give. See? Oh, we accept Christ. Now we have something to give. No, you don't have any. You still don't have anything to give. You're covered in the blood. You focus upon me, and then I made you a certain way, and I will direct you supernaturally to what you need to do. And your prayers are powerful and effective. That's why he made us so many different personalities and different giftings and stuff like that, because he's working in all sorts of stuff. And it has different people. It's not one group of people, one gifting of people. It's multitudes. And you know what the biggest problem with the multitudes of people? You get together. He goes, he's to get them to love one another. Because they get in a church together and they fuss and fight. And that's the reason reading through the scripture says, love your brother, love your brother, love your brother, love your brother. I said, Lord, why are you telling me to love your brother all the time? I mean, I love most of them. He goes, I said, love your brother. I didn't say pick out a few, you know. So anyway, I'm bringing to the point of like, oh my goodness, who does this verse apply to? Without question, it applies to the church. Does God train us daily to behave the way we're supposed to behave? Yes, and he trains each one of us differently. He's telling each one of us different things. He's taking us at different paces because we're different people. But he's constantly working with us. And so he's training us to act righteous. But we are righteous. See? You know, to make a good athlete, you get a kid who's an athlete and you make him better. You see, like that. And to righteous, he gets people who he's made righteous to be better. See, that's so. That's the reason Paul said, I decided to know nothing among you. That's what he said. I decided to know nothing among you. And you know where I'm going? He said, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because what happened? That made me righteous. Amen? Now we're good, righteous, because we need to hang on this, because we just read the rest of this, as we read the rest of this. And he's saying you understand James. So we're in a good, good place with God, with God. So, therefore, because of this truth, by trusting Jesus, and the Bible says this, and James assumes we know this, okay? Because he's writing to the group of people, specific the Jews, you know, but applied to, you know, Gentile Christians also. He's assuming some amount of knowledge, you know, here when he writes this to us. So we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, and by trusting Jesus, we have access to the throne of God. Right? I mean, it says that. What do we have to do to have access? Nothing except Christ. And now we have access. He's the only righteous people who have access. That's right. That's why you have access, because Jesus covered you with his blood. You have access to the throne. Oh my gosh, our prayers are powerful and effective. How? Because we're standing before the throne of God. See? His walls, what do you have to say? Not much. You know, it affects my prayers. You know, it's like, ah. But the fact of it is, and it says it in more than one place. It says it more than one place. That we have access to the throne of God. In fact, Hebrews says, boldly approach the throne of God. See? Well, he's talking about being alive here on earth. What does he mean? He says, come before me and pray. Come before me and talk to me. Boldly approach the throne of God. I'm asking you to do that. And we put all this together because what you say is powerful and effective. Things happen based on what you say. This is what he's telling us about this. Our prayers are powerful and effective because we call upon the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, and nothing's impossible for him. Amen? Can you get your arms around what I just said here? Can you get your arms around? Now, the creator of the universe, all things are possible. You're standing before his throne. You know, I'd ask you something, but I know you can't get this done. No, realize where you are, who you're talking to, and nothing's impossible for God. So God does the best he can all through the scriptures. And so God tells us, he tells us why we should trust him, and he tells us why we should pray to him, and he tells us why we should answer him. He tells us. He tells us. I mean, I could get up here and tell you, and you wouldn't say it. Maybe you would say it. I could tell you, and you go, well, you know. Well, you know. And you'd be an accurate thing to say, well, you know. But what happens, God tells us, this is why you trust me, and this is why you pray, and this is why you expect answers. That's what he tells us. The church is really a powerful identity where God reveals himself to this world. He goes, I work through the church. because I reveal myself through my people. So just in your prayers are powerful. Things happen. And the Bible is full of places. I mean, when you look at it, you don't even know where to start. You don't even know where to start. What God tells you to trust Him, pray to Him, and expect answers. He all the way through Scripture tells us to expect Him to answer. Well, He didn't answer all your prayers. You know, and I understand that argument, and you know, you kind of make friends and don't irritate people. But God says, no, I answer all your prayers. I answer them all. Really? Yes. He answers her. Well, okay, let's just shut our eyes and pick a verse. I didn't quite do that, but I was making a point. Look what God says about Himself. What He says about Himself. Look at Jeremiah 32:27. Just look at it a minute. Jeremiah 32:27. God says to Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah. I think he's the only person in the Bible who complains more than I do. Jeremiah 32:27. God says to Jeremiah, after he complains, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? How many people need to go to seminary and have somebody interpret that to them? I'm dead serious. What does it say? What does it say? And now this just came to mind, but I'll assume that the Lord wants me to say it. When Gabriel came down and told Mary, a young girl, she was going to have a baby. And she goes, not married. I mean, it's, you know, he says, you're going to have a baby. He says, how's this going to happen? Gabriel said that nothing is impossible to God. That was the answer. I mean, I don't know how old she was. 18, she's probably a teenager. She's young. She'd go, okay. And that's exactly what she did say. And because she's, I trust you. And Gabriel said, is anything, he said, nothing is impossible with God. That's what he said, Gabriel. Could have given her a pamphlet and kind of a roadmap and stuff. He goes, no. This is asking you to believe me. Now, why am I making such a big deal about this? Because this verse, the thing Gabriel said, that's what he's telling us. And that's our argument. Because we want our roadmap. And we want proof. And God says, I am the proof. You listen to me. I am the proof. Is anything impossible to me? I'm the proof. You mean I got to trust you? For your prayers to be powerful and effective? Yes, you have to trust me. And who can do that? The church. So God is busy explaining to the church who we are. You know. But it's just like, you're kidding me. No. You know. I'm dead serious about this. I'm dead serious. I mean, I gave my son, he died on the cross to make you righteous. That's the reason. Now you need to come trust in me. And you do that. And then your prayers are powerful and effective. That's what James says. Now, so like Jeremiah, we must believe God is who He says He is. We got to believe God is who He says He is. He's telling us. And we have to believe who he says he is for our prayers to be powerful and effective. God pleads with us. He pleads with us to recognize him and come to prayer. Can you just see God pleading? But he does. It's just like, please come to me and pray. I don't know if you want to hear or not. Stop. Please come. No, it's too little for you. Please come. Oh, yeah, you never answer that. You know, it's like, no, believe who I am. Believe. Do you believe that Christ paid the penalty for your sins? Yep. Then believe what I'm saying about you. That's what he's saying. Well, let's look, still talking to Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah. And like I said, we could spend all morning going to different verses. I mean, it's full. The Bible is absolutely full. Jesus says, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. But he's just kidding. He's just kidding you. No. And he says it a bunch. He says it a bunch. And so what we have here is a little more of an explanation. Look at Jeremiah 33, verses 2 through 3. Jeremiah 33. Again, God is telling Jeremiah who he is. That's the point. This is me. This is who I am. Jeremiah 33, 2 through 3. Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed and established it. The Lord is his name. God just went to a big ordeal kind of explain who he was, didn't he? Jeremiah, this is who talking to you. This is me. Now I'm going to share something. I'm really going to step out on the limb. I'm going to share what God says. What God says. Do you know how this world was created? Right? Science. You know how science, it tells you how it was created and stuff. Well, the Bible says it. Say, spoke it, and it all existed. It just he spoke it. Everything exists. Well, we had this and this and this and this. He goes, no, he created all at one time. It all came together and it all works together and it all falls in together and he's got it all figured out. I heard guys saying, as a scientist, he's talking about stars are so far away. He said billions of years for the light to get to the earth from the stars. And so if he created a star, it would take a billion years for the light to get to the earth. And so you never would see it, so it couldn't happen at that time. And the preacher goes, no, when God spoke it, he created the star and the light between the earth. And then shine and get there. It was there when he created. He spoke the word. What he says, he spoke the word and things came into being immediately. People came into me, two people came into being immediately. God spoke the word. That's what he said it. He said it. Gabriel said to Mary, what did she say? Nothing's impossible to God. It's not a big deal. I mean, it may be a big deal to you, but it's not a big deal to God. Why? Because he spoke the word and created the universe. Sizz, boom, bam, and they're there. And here. And we run around and try to figure out how to do it. How he did it. You know, how he did it. And that's good because there's knowledge and stuff there. Just the origins is incorrect. See? So, when God talks to Jeremiah and tries to get Jeremiah on the same page as him, what does he tell Jeremiah? Thus saith the Lord, who made the earth instantaneously. The Lord who formed it and established it instantaneously. Created the creatures. And the Lord is his name. Amen? Now, based on that fact, God puts his arms around it, brings it into the New Testament, and expresses it in the New Testament sense that he speaks the word and changes things instantaneously and raises the dead and brings things that don't exist into existence, just like creation. You with me? How would you like a verse on this truth. This is the New Testament truth of prayer. The New Testament truth of God working through it, raising, bringing to life, speaking and bringing things that don't exist into an existence. Roman, you can write this down. Roman 4:17 says this. And he's talking with Abraham. Romans 4:17, listen to this. God, okay, this is the same God's talking to Jeremiah. Now he's talking in the New Testament through the Apostle Paul. They know the whole scriptures. You're putting the whole thing together. It all fits together. Romans 4:17 says this. God gives life to the dead and calls into existence those things that do not exist. Therefore, I jump to James and say, what you say is powerful and effective. What you say is power great working, because you are in line with Romans 4:17 and how I'm working now. You just trust me now in the New Testament, and I'll bring life to the dead, and I'll bring into existence the things that don't exist. How many things? What do you think? This will never work. This is impossible. It can't happen. It's impossible. You can't believe it's impossible. You grab James 4:17, saying the Lord said no. No, he brings to life the dead, and he brings into existence the things that don't exist. And so when they don't exist, they're impossible. They don't exist. Well, I can work this out and make this work, and all these things will come together, and we'll work, and this will happen, and God may use that, and he does all the time. But you said that it doesn't exist, and there's no pieces here to make it exist. It is done. It is over. And God goes, I can fix that. I can bring it into existence from nothing. Just like I did in creation, there was nothing. I didn't work it all together. There was nothing, and I spoke it into being, and there's something. Genesis is tied to the book of Romans. Amen? Well, it's tied to the book of James. And he's to the believers. He's tied to the believers. And he said, when you speak, things happen. When you pray, things happen. Things happen. So here we are. I'll read the whole thing on Jeremiah. Love it. Thus says the Lord, who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it. How many people are going to go, liar, liar, pants on fire? You didn't do that. Hey, yes, I did. I did it all. I did it all. The Lord who formed it and established it. The Lord is his name. And he says this, Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. I know them, and I'll tell you, church. I know them, and I'll tell you, church. Church, call on me. Church, call on me. Right? I'll tell you. Things you never dreamed of. Things you have no idea. You have no, you can't even imagine. Ephesians 3:20. What does Ephesians 3:20 say? Ephesians 3:20 says, I can do things that you can't even imagine. That's what Ephesians 3, see, the whole Bible's tied together. It's tied with Genesis. See? You can't imagine. Well, God, I pray. Because you can't. You don't know. I pray. You can't even imagine what's going to do. You know, I'm doing more than you can imagine. See, it's like, and so, come back to James. Come back to James. The prayer from the church, powerful, and effective. Things happen because we look to God and we're praying to him, and we're cleansed by the blood, we're forgiven, and what we say matters. What we say matters. It's like, oh my gosh. But by the way, that's a, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 would be a good memory verse to put on your refrigerator. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great things you have not known. Now, So when we, and so here's the thing, a little caveat into our prayers, okay, that is understood. He doesn't say it here, but it's understood. When we wholeheartedly believe this and trust in God alone, our entire life changes. What's necessary for this to happen is to believe it. That's the issue. We don't, God tells us who He is, and we don't believe it. And we don't believe it by our actions. It's like, no, He says, believe it. You have, Jeremiah, you got to believe it. He's going, church, you got to believe it. He talks about the church in Philadelphia, and he said, I know you are small and don't have much power, but you called upon me. You called upon me, and I will take care of you. See? Oh, yeah, that ain't bad. You know, it's like, He's trying to, you know, communicate those things to us. So, and he's trying, if we wholeheartedly, and what do we wholeheartedly believe? Oh, I wholeheartedly believe this will happen. No, that's not what he's saying. Wholeheartedly believe that God is God and he will do what he said. That's what he's asking us to believe. Not in what we're praying, in what, who he is and what he said. Oh my God, only how reason I can pray for it, because you said it. That's the only reason. And when we wholeheartedly trust in that, he's all right. I'll do it because you trust in me wholeheartedly. You know, I will work in this. Things will happen. Therefore, okay, we're kind of, James, isn't it fun tying the Old Testament, New Testament, all the stuff and find out it says the same stuff? You know, who thought creation was one of the backbones of understanding the power of prayer? Well, nothing's here. Ah, perfect time for prayer. Because I just speak it into existence. Okay, based on what God says. All right, so God is really serious. Therefore, because of this, that we believe who he is and what he says and trust him. Therefore, because we believe who God is. Therefore, because we believe who God is, he tells us to take prayer seriously. One of the reasons we don't pray is we don't take him seriously. One of the reasons we don't pray, we don't take it serious what he's going to do. We don't take it serious that when we pray, things happen. See, so things happen. So, Colossians 4, 2. We'll just jump to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. All tied together. Your prayers are powerful and effective. Then Colossians 4, 2 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer. Why not? I mean, why not? Devote yourself to prayer. James, why? Because it's powerful and effective. Things happen. Devote yourselves to prayer. And then it makes sense. Everything we say, what happens when you pray and you speak powerfully, things happen. Now look what the second part of Colossians says. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. Why are we watchful? Because things happen. Watch. What's this going? Watch. I'm moving. Watch. He's moving. Pay attention to everything's happening around you. Watch, because I'm moving. Why are you moving? Because you prayed. And I'm moving. And I'm shaking the foundations. I'm moving everything into place. I am moving. Watch and pay attention. And it says this. And be thankful. Why? Because I'm moving and everything is falling into position. Well, and just be thankful because you know I'm moving and you know things are happening and you have a confidence I am God and I love you and you love me and I moved when you prayed to me and you're thankful before it ever happened. Before it ever happened. How can you be thankful before it happened? Because you believe God and what he said and have total trust in him to answer. So you thank him in advance. You're happy because he's moving. He's moving, and I'm going to pay attention all around to what he's doing. That doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm moving. You just stay focused on it. But this doesn't make any difference. I mean, it's crazy what's happening here. That's all right. You trust me. I'm moving. I'm moving here, and I'm moving here, and I'm moving around you. And I'm going to work this thing, and I'm going to bring it in. And at the time, I'm going to pull it all together, and I'm going to bring into existence those things that didn't exist. And I'm going to pull all these parts, and you're going to see it. And you thank God now before I ever do it, because I'm moving. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. Now, the thing we get caught up in, like, oh my God, I don't know, figure this out. True. You're in a good spot there. But what he's asking you not to figure it out, he's asking you to trust him. That's all. He said, trust me, that I covered you in the blood. You are forgiven. You're my children. And I'm listening to everything you said, and you trust me to move. You trust me to act, and your trust is in me, and everything falls into place. You keep trusting me. You keep looking to me, and you're thankful, and you're watching things all around you move, and you're thankful, and you're thankful. And he is excited, and he moves because we trust him. Just like he told Jeremiah. I mean, he did all sorts of stuff to Jeremiah. And he had to repeatedly, it's funny, if you read through Jeremiah, every time he talks to Jeremiah, I think every time, he says, Jeremiah, okay, I'm the God who created the earth and everything in it. Okay, we good? He goes on. And he talks to him again. Okay, Jeremiah, come here. I'm the God who created the earth and everything. A guy to Jeremiah, okay, right. Come down here and said, okay, well, let's get Jeremiah to, like, wait a minute, I got to go tell him who I am again. Jeremiah, I'm the God who created heaven and earth. Read Jeremiah. Tells him every time. You know, it's like, I think I would get it the first time. No, I don't. I never get it. I never get it. I shouldn't use never, but I never get it. He has to reinforce to me, Wallace, I'm God. Well, I know you're God. He's not acting like it. Well, okay. You mean like really, 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 really trust you? Yeah, really, really, really trust me. Okay, God. And usually what he'll do with me, now I don't know if he'll do this to you, like I won't trust him where I should. So he'll put me into a place where it gets worse and it doesn't even exist. That doesn't even exist, he tells me. I'm thinking, he goes, now, trust me, and it doesn't exist, but I'll bring it into existence. Why did I get there? Because I wouldn't listen to him over here. See, God's got a method with how he works. He's working in our lives. We think we're just trucking along, you know. We come in, and I read this the other day. I think I shared it. It's just so true of me. But we just truck along in life, you know. And what I found about myself and other people, that we are the source of our own chaos. Or put it this way, we're the source of our own chaos because we don't trust God. Because he can't cover. I mean, it's just too many issues for him to cover. And he's got to have me help him out here. It just won't work. And I just know, you know, and he wants me to. I think I got a word. No, I'm scared it's going to blow up. But I'll call it a word so I can get over here and do something. You see, now I know y'all have never done that. But I do it all the time. You know, lesson's always the same. Wallace, I'm the God who created the heavens and the earth. Oh, yeah, right. Right. And your prayers and what you say are powerful, effective. Things happen. Keep your eyes on me. All right. That's the message. That's the message. We pray. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We pray and things happen. And I'll just read this, kind of pulls it together. Therefore, we should be watchful and thankful because we have confidence that things are going to happen. Devote yourselves. Now, it says the words devote. Devote yourselves implies a persistence and fervor. Hey, God, whatever. You know, I think some. Yeah, if you get around to it. No. Persistence. come back, you talk to him again. You come back, you talk. And there's a fervor. There's a fervor for God. I know you can work through this. I see you, and just keep teaching me. God, see, there's a persistence and fervor. And it says being watchful. It literally means keeping awake, suggesting constant spiritual alertness as things are happening all around us. Be awake. Awake. Just be awake. See what's happening around you. And being thankful refers to the joyous assurance that God hears and is moving and is moving. Now listen, this is true. Being joyous assurance that God hears and is moving heaven and earth on our behalf. He's moving heaven and earth on our behalf. Now listen, this is true. He is moving heaven and earth on our behalf. And when he talked, when Jesus talked to the disciples, he says, listen. And I mean, Jesus, he didn't do this, but I can see him. Jesus talked to the disciples. He goes, what's your issue? Speak to the mountain. God will throw it away. He'll move heaven and earth. And we, you know, we go around trying to find a mountain and make God move it and pile of dirt. But God's not busy in the business of moving dirt, although he can. But he always telling us, he's, no, I'm the creator of everything. You just, I can throw that mountain. All you got to do is trust me that that's what I'm doing. The heavens, you know, great storm. God goes, stop. Stops. See, he will move heaven and earth to do for us what we ask him. What we ask him. Now, so everybody shout hallelujah. I mean, this is what God says. This is what he is telling us, and he wants us to say. We've read the entire book of James. We know James, or he's assuming we know James. He's assuming. And he also brings up these other issues. There are different places in the Bible. He assumes we read those. You know? So he's making a lot of assumptions. When he talks about Job. He assumed we read and know about Job. He just told us a little bit. He assumed we read the whole thing. You know? He said, it's just like that. Oh, I remember when you said that. A lot of us are going, who's Job? I never heard Job. You know? And so it's a little harder for us to get our arms around it. So he continues to do this. He has told us these unbelievable truths that he's trying to get us to understand who we are and the power of our prayers. He's trying to get us to understand that. And so he does something here, which is fascinating. I think it's a real blessing he did it. God said, so that we don't get caught up in our own insecurities and our own human weaknesses. That'll never happen. You know, so we don't get caught up in that. God gives us an example. He gives us that of a regular man just like us. He said, Wallace, I know you just, it's hard for you to handle this. Let me give you, this is a man. He's just like you. No different than you. So he's saying it to you. You're having a problem with this? He said, wait, I'll give you a man. He's just like you. Just like you. And look what I did with him. That's okay, this ought to be good. That he showed us. Look at James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Now, this is all tied to what we've been talking to. We went 16, 17, and 18. Prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. Things happen. Great power working. Things happen. And then it goes in to a man just like us. James 5, 17. Elijah. Elijah. Now, I'm going to make a point. He assumes you know who Elijah is. He's just assuming it. He didn't explain Elijah. Elijah, he's a man just like us. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again. And heaven gave rain and the earth bore its fruit. Well, thanks for that, God. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, see what Elijah did? That's what I'm telling you. You're just like him. He was just like you. He's a man just like you. Now, So James, assuming we already know the full account of Elijah, and Elijah didn't have any supernatural powers. He was by nature a human being and nothing more. Now you read about Elijah. Elijah did some big stuff. But that's not what he's saying here. But what he's saying, that he's just a human, just like us, nothing more. And since he is just like us, any Christian has the same power Elijah did. Because when I said he didn't have any power, it just got did through him. Wasn't Elijah. He didn't have any power. James assures us that such answers to prayer are within the reach of any believer. That's what he's saying. God is saying. Now, we're going to give a little context here. It'll be helpful. This is not to take away anything, but it gives a little understanding as we move forward. It's kind of like, God, I'm praying for a house bigger than Trump's. That's what you're saying. Well, God puts a little caveats to, help us direct our prayers just a little. He's not going to hinder us anything, but he wants to help us to understand what's going on here. So we're assured that we have the same power as Elijah. Same power. Clear. That's what it's saying here. Now, what little insight, I want to take a peek into Elijah, because there's a couple of things said here that are powerful. And here's some insight. And on 1 Kings, there's an overhead here, by the way, 1 Kings 18, all that section after talks about Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, verse 1, you hear what he said about Elijah in his prayer. Stopped raining for 3 years, it rained again, and by Elijah's prayer. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, it says that we see that God spoke to Elijah and told him what to pray. Now, James doesn't say that here, but he said, look at Elijah, he's a man just like you. So he's just like us. Well, what did he do with Elijah? He told Elijah, pray, it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. All right. It didn't rain. So what we do, we see the source of where understanding of what God is comes from God. It comes from God. And you can figure this out. I've actually seen this, not quite like this. I think we should have a house just like Trump's. And I want a double tithe from everybody. I've seen that. Didn't use Trump's name, It's like, God told me. Now, what would you say? Well, God didn't tell you nothing. He didn't say it. Why? Well, you might have a lot of reasons why. But then no way that there's any scriptural foundation to those things I just said. No scriptural foundation, none whatsoever. Thus, he didn't tell me nothing. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so making that point. But he did tell Elijah to pray. No more rain 3.5 years, because God had a big plan and Elijah was part of it, which he never saw the plan, or he did see Lord at the end, but he worked through Elijah. So we see that God is the source of the prayers. It's the foundation, because when we look to God, God said, I can do nothing of my own. Only God, through you, work through me. My eyes are on you. Total commitment. That's what it is, okay? And so that same thing in Elijah. All right, I'll talk to Elijah because I have his attention. And so, now here is, and previously in James, it says the prayer of faith. I mean, just a couple of verses up, it talks about the prayer of faith, and it's the same thing. But the righteous person has a prayer of faith. What is a prayer of faith? It's faith. Faith is hearing what God says and then doing what God says. That's faith. So it's a prayer of faith. Elijah heard what God said, and I did what God said, and then God does it. See, and that's what it's that. We hear what God says, and then we do what God says, and then God does it. See, it's a prayer of faith. But the prayer of a righteous person, the church prays like that. Dear God, I have this relationship with you. I just want to serve you. God, continue to lead me and guide me in all things. See, so the focus is on God. And now he started that out. The focus is in the Lord and who he is. And God says, okay, I'll do all this other stuff if you put me first. But again, remember that. You hear God. You do what God says. Then God does what he says. See, so he's behind this. Now, so we want to pull all this. We give that thing. So we hold that and believe that. So the power is from hearing God and discerning his will, which comes from the Bible. The only way we can discern God's will is what the scriptures say, okay? The foundation of the scriptures. So understanding that that's God's will, foundation, you understand the scriptures. All of y'all understand the scriptures, and I say I want a house just like Trump's. I'm glad I didn't put my offering in before the service. I'm not going to put it in after. Boy, he's off his rocker. Why? And nothing in Scripture says that. Nothing. Nothing. See? And so there's a, and we're talking about not judging, well, other people. We're talking about ourselves. We're talking about ourselves. So the word, discerning, hearing God and discerning God's will comes from the Bible. We have to be in the scriptures to know. And you don't have to know the whole thing, but you have principles. When God said, pray for this, and he gives you issues, you continue praying, and he'll teach you while you're praying. So based on the foundation of the Bible, now listen, based on the foundation of the Bible, we have knowledge, just like the book of James. We have knowledge, okay? We read the book of James, and this is at the end of the book of James. So we have some knowledge. So the foundation of all, we have knowledge, and our prayers come from that knowledge. Now, this is a reason, not everybody, you have to memorize the Bible and everything, but this is the reason you come to church. You have council of believers. You have, you know, the family of the church together, guiding, you know, the Holy Spirit. All those things are working together, and God speaks through that, and he shows you tidbits of stuff. You don't have to memorize the whole scripture, but he'll say, you can pray for this. You know, it's like, pray for your family. That's all through the script. Pray. He hears that prayer. You know, now he may fine tune it, but he hears that prayer. But you have the basis of the scripture, you know. And you got to pray and get a brother's, you know, some brother's home group said, I'm praying. I don't know. This is happening. And pray. Okay. And you to help discern whether God showed me this, I think this. And you come together, you insight, and you pray together, encourage that person to pray. Or someone's sick or something. Okay, brother, my city will pray for you. And, you know, and you, so you're looking. So you have the council of believers, you have the elders, and it said, we just read last week, it told the elders, you know, come to the elders, you know, and the elders are to minister. Well, part of the healing ministry is to discern what's going on in your life. God, what's going on? And pray, and God will reveal based on the faith that God has put in the church over people. See, it all works together. All works together. But everything is established on the scriptures. Everything is established on the scripture. So based on the Bible, the knowledge of the Bible, based on the foundation of the Bible, we understand the Holy Spirit will guide us. How many times you've been in something that we've talked, Holy Spirit prompt. He says, I believe the Lord's telling me this, you know, and I don't know anything in the scripture that's counter that, and I need to pay attention to what God's putting on my heart. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Or you ever had that check? You go here, you go, I need to be out of here. You know? See, so God's working, but tying all this into prayer. And he continues to give insight. Therefore, with wisdom, we devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful. We pray for anything. I always talk about Pastor Milliken, what a prayer warrior he was. And Lynn and I, the day went and got to see his daughter. Is here, and she's, I don't know how old, she's 80 some odd, his daughter, you know, got the, anyway, it's nice to be able to see her. Her husband died, and we went to the funerals. It was nice to be there, and got to see a lot of people. But the, he told me, that, and they prayed all the time. The most amazing thing, I'm getting a little off kilter here, but anyway, y'all can, they would pray, and they'd come and pray. And then what they would do, I'm getting off, but this was just so much, brings back so many good memories. And they'd come and they'd pray, and they'd sit on our couch and said, "Let's pray, let's pray." I said, "Okay, we'll pray." And they prayed like 3 to 4 hours each morning. They prayed around the world and down streets and us. Every time I'd see him, he goes, "I pray for you every day." Oh, gosh, it gives me chills now. And so they sat at our couch and they said, "Let's pray." And they would pray, and then they just started praying. I never saw anything like it in my life. I never saw anything in my life. They prayed in unison. They'd pray, "Oh, dear God." And he'd go, "Thank you, Lord. Yes, dear God." And they'd say, "Oh, God, we just love you so much. We pray for, you know, Mary." Another one say, "Wolf." Her children, yes. And then they would name them. That's how they prayed. And it's like, after a while, I just stopped. And I'm just looking at them. I said, "Oh, my God. I never seen anything like this in my barn. I never saw it." They would finish each other's sentences, you know. And I've never seen such unity in prayer, you know. And so Linda just sat there. And then they said, "Oh, let's just offer praise." And they just started holding hands and just started singing the hymn to the Lord. Just singing to the Lord like praise. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Wherever they are, I'm alone. Way away. But that's the standard that was put before us. That was the standard. They wouldn't have any problem with this section of Scripture. This section of Scripture. In fact, that Jeremiah, what was it? Jeremiah 33:3. The first time I ever heard that is he told me. He said, "This is what you do." First time I ever heard it, Pastor Milliken told me, says, "This is how you pray. This is why you pray." So anyway, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So he prayed for anything. And this is where, you know, you say, we pray God into every situation and make him work. Because prayer, it's like, I mean, I think you should have times of prayer and, you know, all that. But prayer should be a way of life. It should be, you walk in, you come into the situation. "Dear God, I just pray you into the situation. I want to see you move, and I'm going to watch how you unfold this thing." And then you're watchful, thankful of what's going into it. And you have a lot of confidence because you know God's moving in that situation. See, we pray God into the situation. And that really just acknowledging us, you know, we're, you know, that he's working, and we're acknowledging he's working and making an expression of that. Now, I'm going a little over, but I'm having a lot of fun. I hope you are. You have the thing about prayer, what it, and it just interacted. When I first came to know the Lord, I didn't know how to pray. I'd never been to church or anything. So I came to know the Lord. And so one of the things I would do, I just talked to him. I didn't know what to do, so I just talked to him. I just talked to God like that. And we live on Belford Avenue. How do I remember that? Los Angeles. And I walk around our apartment complex, and I just talk to God. In Los Angeles, you know, they'd arrest you now. We just thought, okay. Like that. But I didn't know how. But it was just like a conversation. But it was a connection where I knew I had it. I just didn't understand the details about it. Now, so we can see. But you see right here what God is telling the church. And you see, and I want to show you a picture. I'm going to show you a picture of how this works, the Old Testament gives us. And I'll try to, almost done. But you see the picture how God works and how he does. And if you understand what he's doing and how he works, it's like, my God, I ought to pray. That's what's happening. I mean, whoa, things are happening. But you have in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 17, we see prayer at work. And there's no overhead here. But in Exodus 17, Joshua goes and fight a battle. He fights a battle against Israel's enemies. He's going to fight this battle. And the enemy's called Amalek. So he goes to fight the battle. So Moses with Aaron and Hur on top of this hill to watch the battle and pray. You know, so they're watching the battle and they're praying and they're fighting the battle. And so whenever Moses held up his hands in prayer, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, the enemy prevailed. He raised his hands praying, Israel prevailed. He dropped his hand, the enemy prevailed. See, and they got tired. Oh my gosh, his hands grew weary. And so what they did, they got a stone, they put him under it, he sat down, they sat on the stone, and Aaron and Hur got on each side of him, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands. That sounds like home group prayer, doesn't it? See, held up his hands. And so they held up his hands, and his hands, as long as they held his hands up, Joshua won. His hands come down, the enemy went. So they held his hand up, and then Joshua finally won the battle. Finally won the battle. That's how prayer works. Raise your hand. They just fled. No, they fought a whole battle. He got so tired. He's got tired. Got tired. When Moses held his hands up in prayer, things happened. They prevailed. When he dropped his hands, nothing happened. The enemy prevailed. This is a very clear example of powerful and effective prayer. Now, Jesus alone, when we pray, our life is one miracle and divine opportunity after another. Our prayers are great power working. Brings it into existence. Brings it into, it's impossible. He'll bring it into existence. Just like he created the worlds. So, Jesus said, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. All God's people. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, just this whole thing, what you said about prayer, the power of prayer that you hear, you desire to answer our prayers. You desire to move heaven and earth on our behalf. You just want us to hold up our hands to you and say, God, you alone we trust. You alone we trust. We give all things to you, God. You be our teacher. You be our God, Lord. Thank you, God. Teach us to pray. And God, Jesus said, ask anything, and I'll do it. So we ask anything. And if it's off kilter, God will reveal it to us, refine it, until finally we pray the correct thing. We thank you, dear Jesus. We thank you that we're not here alone, and we thank your holy hand that's protecting us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.